Back in 1990, you were here in Los Angeles for what you call the Car Crusher. Tell us about that one.
That was done for the Guinness Book of World Records TV show, where I was chained into a 1970 Cadillac, I believe, by the chief of police of South Pasadena, again with his handcuffs and chains and so forth. And I had each arm chained to the inside of a door, and my neck to the steering wheel, and my leg to the brake and gas pedal. And then they picked the whole car up, they put it into a car crusher, and the car was crushed. And I had to escape while the car was actually being crushed and mangled and compacted.
How close did it come? Were you able to almost get out?
Well, I did manage to escape, obviously, because
you're here now.
There wasn't much time left. You know, there's always a few nicks and bruises, but we managed to escape, believe it or not.
Have you ever been in a situation, Dean, where it was really close?
Oh yes, oh yes. I've hurt myself numerous times. I was always a big fan of Houdini and Evel Knievel when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've broken bones, I've torn ligaments, I've broken teeth, I've lost body parts, and in fact, I even died in one escape.
And came back, no doubt.
Yeah, back in...
What happened in that one?
Houdini died on Halloween Day back in 1926, which kind of expands upon his legend.
Yeah.
And said it was such a mystical time and all that. And every year since I was 18 years old, which is actually the first time Ripley's actually put me into their little comic strips for beating Houdini's record for getting out of the straitjacket. But anyway, I was it was Halloween of 1983. I was 19 years old, and my Halloween tribute that year was to get handcuffed, chained up, put into a coffin, the lid was nailed on and wrapped in chains, and then it was lowered into an icy river in Canada. And we had about 10,000 people show up to watch the Halloween tribute. And I was underwater for nearly 4 minutes, and I didn't escape. Something had gone tragically wrong, and by the time my people had got me pulled up and back out of the water and the lid pried open and stuff, I was blue, unconscious, and dead. And they had to rush me to the ambulance, and I remember seeing the lights and the tunnels and all those kind of things that people talk about. So it became not only an escape, but an escape from death, which is kind of what a coffin symbolizes. So, you know, it proves that what I do is real, that the danger is there, the chance of harm is there. But, you know, I live to tell the tale.
What went wrong, Dean, with that particular escape?
Well, basically, what happened, when the coffin, it was all drilled full of holes so that when it hit the river, it would fill full of water and it would sink to the bottom. And when it started to sink, I don't smoke, I don't drink,
right.
I try and, you know, leave a healthy lifestyle. I pushed all the air out of my lungs and I used my diaphragm and I filled my lungs up with air. And when the coffin got about two-thirds of the way underwater, for some reason it stopped sinking. It was kind of balancing itself in the water, and it felt like an eternity where it was kind of stuck like this. But it was about 20 or 30 seconds. And I was in this little air pocket, and I thought, uh-oh, something's gone wrong up above the water. And I decided to take a fresh breath of air. So again, I exhaled my air, and as soon as I exhaled all my air, the coffin just kind of plunged underwater.
Oh, so you had no way to get get your lungs full of air again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I was stuck underwater in this coffin with no air whatsoever in my lungs. So, you know, you're 15 feet underwater in a black, murky river. There's 10,000 people screaming above. There's no way you can yell, scream, pound on the side.
And it's full of water.
You're in there. So... It was again, one of those believe it or not situations where it's like, God, what the heck am I doing?
And you're just praying that somebody pulls you up. Now, did you have a system in place where at a certain time they pull you up if you're not up?
You know what? I have a very, very good safety crew and people I've worked with for years. Now, again, this is when I was still young. I was 19, and we were still kind of, you know, experimenting and getting things right. But we had a specific time when to pull me up. Well, they went to pull me up, and somehow they got a safety signal from me that said, no, 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 keep me underwater. I was already unconscious.
You were already, yeah. And what was the, I mean, was there a little piece of rope there or something that you had to tug on, or how would they know?
Well, they got this signal from me, and we have a series of hand signals and gestures and things. It's a whole kind of almost like baseball third baseman signals and stuff. And somehow they interpreted a signal that I need more time, so they kept me underwater.
Well, I mean, how could they find hand signals if you're down in a coffin? That's
Well, they were looking for certain things,
you can't reveal the trick, can you?
Well, I don't like to reveal all my safety signals.
Right, I understand.
But there was something that they were waiting for.
Okay.
You know, like they were waiting for me to break the surface of the water, and they thought they'd see me come up, and I didn't. It was just a lot of freaky things. It was a very mystical Halloween cold day in Canada, but they brought me right to the edge, and like I said, I turned blue. I got to see the lights in the tunnels that everybody talks about, and for some reason, I got kicked back here to an escape.
Keep on going.
Another day.
Well, had you been able to get a lung full of air, would you have been able to get out of this thing?
Yeah, I believe so. I got out of the chains and the handcuffs that had locked me inside the coffin, but I didn't have enough time. And I remember being trapped inside this coffin, and again, you think, like, what am I going to do? And I had to use everything that I'd learned at such a young age, and I put my hands to my goggles. I was wearing a wetsuit. I didn't have any oxygen or anything, but wetsuit and goggles to try and see in the murky water. And just said, relax, stay calm, just relax, stay calm. And I went into a form of almost semi-meditation just to try and preserve what little bits of oxygen I had in my bloodstream. And then, poof, you know, I went out. And I remember waking up in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and I couldn't open my eyes or anything, but I could hear the siren. And it's weird. It was one of those things in life. And I knew I wasn't going to die. Even though I was stuck in that coffin, I knew I wasn't going to die. And when I woke up, it was like, okay, no big deal. It's like, you know, what happened? And when I saw the news footage and stuff later on, it was a pretty freaky
scary
event.
Yeah.
It was bad. Like I said, I was blue. My eyes were rolled back in my head. The ambulance people and the police are, you know, ripping my body and dragging and, you know, putting the electric volts into me.
The 10,000 people watching, were they in shock?
I'm sorry?
The 10,000 people who were out there witnessing all this, were they in shock?
They weren't sure. Again, they didn't know whether to believe it or not, because they thought maybe it was part of the show, or maybe I was just being dramatic, or what.